Hi everyone. I've chosen to talk about Psalm 103 today, mainly because I think, you know, when David starts this psalm, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And to me, it sounds like he needed to remind himself to say, "Giddy up, come on. Remember, it's good for you. It's good medicine, soul. Praise God." And this drew me in. And there was another verse as well down the track that just reminded me of how when we make a good list of things that God has done and then we engage with that list, it can really change our day. So I come to you early in the morning from my place. And I hope that you get something good out of this lovely talk about Psalm 103. The Word of God is alive and active, so I pray that you'll engage with the Word of God. So I'll just say a little prayer. Dear loving Father, thank you so much for all of your good gifts, and we pray that as we think about bringing our soul and our sacrificing our whole selves to you, that we will be encountering you and we'll be changed as we pray and we praise you. And we pray that, the good that comes from God, it's actually quite a redeeming process. So God's done all these acts of goodness and compassion in our lives. And when we praise him for it, there's something special that happens. I want to tell you a story. When I go to the shops and I do my shopping, I come home with my big bags and there's my dog waiting at the door. He's wagging his tail. He's jumping up to me with so much love and adoration. And I tell him, "Oh, he's a good boy. He's a good dog. Oh, you're a good dog." And he just loves me unconditionally. He's there. He's jumping on me. He's visible. I know he loves me unconditionally. He won't let me forget. Well, at the shops, God's also with me and he's incredibly more faithful and unconditionally loves me. And when I remember him, I love to tell him that he's a good God. I tell him how much I love him and I appreciate him, and I get so much joy from praising him. I guess the contrast is that my dog's all over me, but God just so generous and gentle and such a gentleman, and he waits. So that's a little bit of food for thought, I guess. Just that unconditional love. So a few weeks ago, Lindsay said that Christians don't need teaching as much as they need reminding. So I'd like to remind you to praise God more. Just believe in his goodness. He's deserving of our praise. There's so much joy in trusting him. And like, we may have forgotten about how good praise can be. I mean, we used to do praise in big crowds, right? And look, concerts aren't really the thing right now. But look, I really want you to consider nurturing private praise. Just to care for your soul, to give him credit for all the good, make a list of God's gracious dealings, all the things that God has done that need praising. I have a special spot just behind here, which is my morning place where I talk to God. Such a precious time. Anyway, Dorothy Day was a Christian activist, and she had this really famous quote, and I love it. She says, "My strength returns to me with my cup of coffee and the reading of the Psalms." Well, I think we should start with a psalm then. Like I said, Psalm 103 is a good one for starting us off. So many songs that I know of that have been inspired by Psalm 103. For example, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name." And another one, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, and you are sovereign over us," and so on. Anyway, I wanted to read the Psalms, but I also want to tell you a story from the book Soul Keeping. So here we go.
High in the Alps, there was an old man who looked after a spring. So this is a story taken from Soul Keeping, a book by John Ortberg. And up in the very high Alps, this man, his job was to just look after those springs, that from those springs would carry streams, and they would go down the mountain, down into the valley below, where there were some towns and some villages. And what he did was he pulled out sticks daily, and he pulled out debris, rubbish, gunk, and worse, so that once the water would get down into those creeks and streams, the people down below would really enjoy the beautiful fresh water. We're talking pristine. There were birds there. You could see the trout. The children would play. There were wild swans. Just would bring health with this lovely, nurturing, crystal clear water to the townspeople. One week, the village council convened, and they said, look, why are we sending funds to this old man? We have never seen him. We've got, you know, it's a luxury that we can't afford. These funds need to be diverted to things that are more important. So they stopped paying this old man. They didn't notice straight away, but in weeks to come, the water started becoming a bit brackish, a bit muddy, perhaps a bit like this muddy ditch that I'm next to on the oval. The birds flew away. There were no wild swans. The children didn't want to play there. They started getting sick. All sorts of complaints. They were drinking that was their town's drinking water, and they started getting really sick. So they reflected on it. They reconvened and said, well, perhaps we need to invest into having this man come and do his work again. So they reinstated him. He went back to work, happily clearing the springs, clearing the stream. So the spring is your soul. The man is the keeper of your soul. You are actually the keeper of your soul if you don't keep your spring, which is the source of life, the wellspring of life, nice and fresh and clean. It's very hard to have good health.
You know, worse, spiritually deteriorate or just not thrive. We need to tend to our souls as it's the wellspring of life. So sometimes there are signs in our lives that we've forgotten to tend to our souls. Sometimes when we're wobbly, I like that phrase. I think that explains a lot. You know, we're wobbly, we're upset, we're not grounded, I guess. Feeling a bit lost. Good time to think it through. You know, I love the Psalms. The Psalms bring truths about the character of God. And then we can respond by praising him. It helps us, I guess it helps us to contemplate the with God life. And the Psalms are beautiful because they use the language of prayer and praise. So here's Psalm 103.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. With all my heart, I will praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins, nor does he deal with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He's removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he understands how weak we are. He knows we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we'd never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels of his, you mighty creatures who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everywhere in his kingdom. As for me, I too will praise the Lord.
Here we have a long list of things God does for us. How many are you aware of? How many may have you forgotten about? So this, as you can see, it's not just a little clever list or an intellectual list. No, we need to engage with it personally for it to help us. So let's see, you know, he's compassionate, a perfect father. He's sovereign, forgiver of sins. The process of praising him makes it more personal. We can respond by saying some personal things about our reflections. So here are a few examples. I praise you for giving me life. I praise you, God, because you're wonderful. I praise you, God, for forgiving me when I sin. I praise you, God, for giving me children. I praise you for friends. I praise you for getting me through this difficult day. I praise you, God, for the great sunrise or sunset I watched today. Look at that first line of Psalm 103. David says to his soul, come on, remember God's love and goodness. He's reminding himself. Maybe he wasn't in the mood. Sometimes that's a blocker. Sometimes we're not in the mood. But I guess what a great technique David comes up with, talking to his soul. He's just being obedient then after that and saying a few praise phrases to tend to his soul and remember his maker. It's like the act of telling God you think he's good actually refreshes your soul. And then there's this lovely pardon, Psalm 103, where he talks about satisfying your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I actually meditated on that for a while, and it reminded me of a lot of the teaching in Scripture and about how he has all the resources of heaven and he has all the power and all the love, and all of those resources are available to us by connecting with him. We just say, Lord, I need your love. I need your refreshing. And he is so good and he's so alive and he's so present and he loves us so much. Have you tried listening to audio scripture or watching the Lumo Project, letting it soak? It's amazing soaking. I soaked and listened to a scripture in song for 50 times, I think. It was about 50 times. It was a long time. You know that song, as far as the east is from the part of the verse that, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. That was a very special time for me. And you'll find your own special time I'm just giving examples of what's been really good for me. I just want to encourage you to do something like that. So put into practice praising God. You know, it's a really good way to tend to your soul. And what is the soul? So it's you. Your soul is your emotion, your mind, your will. When we connect to God and bring our whole selves to Him and live a living sacrifice and love Him and just bring our soul and connect with God, then we have a healthy soul. And when we connect with other people, we also can have a very filling life, and our inner world is so important. We need to look after it. I mean, think of cars running on fuel. You know, when you run out of fuel, you have to go to the servo. There's no way getting around that. We have to fill it up. Or think of a car without a steering wheel. You know, it doesn't matter how fast you're going to go. You're a car accident waiting to happen. So being centered with a steering wheel or, you know, with your petrol, that's just another analogy. I think that we do live in a bit of a world with lost souls. That's just the human condition. You know, when I'm alone in the garden or in a park, I can just let go of all the pressures and responsibilities, expectations. This is, you know, all the stuff of my outer life, I guess. I look at the sky, I look at the trees, I look at the flowers, and I'm reminded that God loves me. My soul feels really loved. My soul gets softened by being out there. It's softened and it's receptive to God's love. It's my inner life. The health of our souls is what makes life heavenly. So yes, lockdown can change our routines. That can be a good thing potentially. You know, perhaps there's a little bit more time to maybe do cloud therapy, look out the window a bit more, or pause and while the kettle's boiling, think about God's goodness and bring your soul to Him. I think that it's the starting that's hard. So that's why I really love the start of Psalm 103. You know, it's a bit like exercising. If you do you should do it. It's good medicine for your body. And then you go out there and it's cold and you put your beanie on, and the first 5 minutes are the hardest. But then after half an hour, you come back and you think, wow, that was worth it. It's just what I needed. And I would say to you, yeah, it's start praising, believe His goodness. Just, you know, it's very healing entering into worship. Once you start, you'll find, I think you'll find that it's just what you needed. So I want you to consider nurturing that private praise. You know, give Him all the credit for all the good you see. I think the other verse that really jumped out was Isaiah 63, verses 7-9. Make a list of God's gracious dealings, all the things that God has done that need praising. So I did a bit of a pop quiz with the people in my house as to what are some of the simple ways that they can get into the lifestyle of praise, and a few other friends too. I've done some research. Spotify apparently is one of them. So like a praise and worship list on a streaming service. But also CDs, good old praise and worship CDs that you might have stacked somewhere. Or cheaper or easier, radio stations. So some radio stations are just dedicated to praise. So I think 1665 is a good one. It's a bit crackly, but it's good. Light Digital, it's a good one. I know a friend who does colouring in pages of Psalms, just the little ones. Another friend, like I mentioned before, that does cloud therapy. She was saying to me that her perspective changes. We're so small. And then she just sits there and asks, Lord, what would you say to me today? And I want to tell you all about my love for you. So as we finish, I just want to encourage you to just let Him refresh you, He's ready and willing and waiting for you. Just put into practice praising God. That's just one of the ways you can tend to your soul. So let's have a pause now. What's one thing that God's been saying to you during this time? What's one thing you can do in response? So I'd like to finish with a blessing by an Aboriginal elder who's a Christian, Uncle John Ross. May the God of creation warm your heart like the campfires of old. Let the light of God show us the right path and stand tall like the big river gums, drawing life from the ever-flowing waters. Thanks for spending this time with me this morning, and God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.